Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Little Penis, A Finger Puppet Parody Book Watch, The Little Penis Grow. By Craig Yeo is an adult humor novelty book that parodies the look and format of a child-friendly finger puppet board book. Published as a compact, illustrated board book, it uses bold colors, simple imagery, and a built-in finger puppet cutout to create an interactive reading experience. Its purpose is not instructional or literary in the traditional sense, but comedic and gift-oriented, especially for adults looking for a crude, playful gag item. The book builds its humor around a series of exaggerated bodily and social situations that turn ordinary changes in size and mood into sexual innuendo. Because of that, it is positioned more as a party accessory or joke gift than a conventional title. Its appeal depends on the contrast between innocent format and risque content, which is the central device of the parody. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how the board book format creates the parody. The most important feature of this book is its borrowing of a format normally associated with babies and toddlers. Board books are typically sturdy, visually simple, and designed for tactile interaction. So placing adult sexual humor inside that structure creates an immediate comic mismatch. Craig Yeo uses that mismatch as the engine of the parody. The clean shapes, bright colors, and repetitive page imitate the visual grammar of early childhood books. But the content is aimed at adults and works through innuendo rather than innocence. That contrast does more than provoke shock. It also explains why the book functions as a joke on publishing conventions themselves. It treats a familiar children's product as a vessel for taboo humor, making the structure part of the punchline. This is why the book is best understood not simply as a crude joke collection, but as a format-based parody in which form and content are inseparable. Without the childlike presentation, the material would lose much of its comic effect. Secondly, the finger puppet gimmick turns the reader into part of the joke. A defining feature of the book is the finger puppet opening in the back cover, which invites the reader to physically animate the main character. That design is crucial, because the humor is not only in the text but in the reader's participation. By inserting a finger into the cutout, the reader becomes an active part of the joke, which gives the book a novelty value beyond standard page-based humor. The interactive device also reinforces the parody of children's books, since finger puppet books are usually meant to support sensory play and early engagement. Here, that same mechanism is repurposed for adult mockery. The effect is deliberately silly and a little crude, and the physical interaction helps make the book more memorable as a gag gift. It is an example of how a simple manufacturing choice can change the meaning of a book. The puppet element does not deepen the plot, but it does deepen the comic situation by making the reader complicit in the absurdity of the premise. Thirdly, body humor and sexual innuendo drive the narrative. The book's narrative is built around recurring jokes about size, movement, and sexual response. Rather than developing a complex plot, it presents short situations in which little penis grows, shrinks, or reacts to everyday events in a way that turns ordinary actions into innuendo. Swimming, getting out of bed, being kissed, visiting a bar, getting drunk, and hooking up all become opportunities for double meaning. This reliance on bodily transformation is important because it keeps the book's humor tied to a single comic idea, the penis as a character, whose state changes according to context. The result is closer to a series of gags than a story in the traditional sense. That approach fits the parody format, since many children's books rely on repetitive scenes and predictable responses, and this title simply replaces innocence with sexual comedy. The humor is intentionally blunt rather than subtle, which makes the book accessible as a quick gag but also limits its range. Its structure works best when the reader already understands the joke and is willing to enjoy repetition. Fourthly, its real audience is adult gift-giving, not general readership. The book is clearly aimed at adults who want a novelty item for social occasions, especially bridal showers, bachelorette parties, and other gatherings where risque humor is expected. That positioning matters because it explains the book's cultural function. It is not designed to be read for literary merit, long-form amusement, or broad shelf life. Instead, it works as a conversation starter and a playful object that creates a shared reaction in a group setting. In that sense, the book belongs to the larger category of gag gifts, where the physical object matters as much as the reading experience. Its appeal comes from timing, context, and audience tolerance for crude humor. Because it is so specifically framed, the book succeeds best when given as a joke present rather than bought for private reading alone. This narrow targeting is also a limitation, since its humor is unlikely to appeal to readers outside that social and comedic niche. Still, that specificity is part of what makes the title commercially and culturally legible within its category. Lastly, why the book stands out among adult parody novelties. There are many adult joke books and parody gifts, but this title stands out because it combines visual imitation, tactile interaction, and a single, highly recognizable taboo subject. The combination makes the book more distinctive than a simple collection of dirty jokes or a text-only parody. Its title, format, and concept all work together to produce an immediately understandable premise. The book also benefits from the author's background in cartooning and visual design, which helps explain why the presentation is polished enough to function as a novelty object rather than a disposable prank. Within the adult humor market, that matters because the book has to communicate its joke quickly and clearly. It does so through format first and content second. The result is a title that is easy to identify, easy to gift, and easy to remember. Its limitation is equally clear: the joke is narrow, and once the premise is understood, the surprise is largely gone. But for its intended role, that is enough. The book stands out because it delivers a very specific kind of provocation in a form that mirrors the books it is mocking. In conclusion, this book is best suited for adult readers who enjoy crude parody, novelty design, and giftable humor that depends on surprise and social context. It is especially relevant for people looking for a light, intentionally inappropriate present for bridal showers, bachelorette parties, or similar gatherings where taboo comedy is welcome. Readers who appreciate visual gags and format-based humor will get more from it than those seeking narrative depth or literary sophistication. What makes it different from many similar adult joke books is that the joke is embedded in the object itself, the board, book format, the puppet cutout, and the childish visual style all contribute to the parody before a single line is read. That gives it a stronger novelty identity than text-heavy gag books. It is also more focused than broad humor collections, since every element supports one central concept. As a result, its value lies in presentation, timing, and comedic specificity. For the right audience, it functions as a memorable prop, a punchline, and a conversation piece all at once. If you would like to support Craig Yeo, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.